across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Monday morning, May 13th, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're listening through the app or watching us on social media or listening by podcast, thanks for taking us along as well. I got a question for you. You're not still falling for that whole Northern Lights urban legend thing, are you? Because I think it is. Or I'm the only one whose eyesight isn't working because, you know, a man my age gets up once or twice in the middle of the night. Each time I look out the window and I kind of feel like Squidward in the SpongeBob cartoons, just going like, nah, I don't see anything because there's nothing. And I see all these photos and I just figure, well, everybody's getting really good at Photoshop, but it's not there. What I have here now is a whole lot of haze. A whole lot of haze, Greg Bach. The Canada is on fire again already. And the wildfire haze has already made it down here. So we had colorful skies this morning because of all the pink from the rising sun. But that's all I'm seeing. How was your weekend?
I just like how you just came in all hot and spicy. You just like, Northern Lights is a lie. Canada's on fire. How are you, Greg? It's just...
Come join my misery.
Yeah. Welcome to 2 hours of telling it like it is and finding out how Greg's weekend was.
Yes. Hi, Greg.
Hi. How are you doing, my
Good.
Friend?
Well, you had Michael Ian Black.
We did.
The weekend at the comedy, or at the Laughing Tap.
At the Comedy Tap?
I keep putting in comedy. I go to Google you and I'm like, Comedy Tap. Like, Google comes back. My Google spicy too. It goes, you idiot. It's the Laughing Tap.
So. Google's not real.
No, seriously. I looked up Friday night. We saw a little bit of like streaks of something up there, but not much for like color or anything. Yeah. And they see all these photos and it looks like, you know, a box of crayons, the most beautiful box of crayons threw up on people's, skyscrapes. And we got nothing. We got nothing here. I feel bad.
Really? You had to use throw up? I mean,
sorry.
You're just upset that you didn't get as much as everyone else, and that's fine. You got some. I got nothing.
Didn't get anything. I got a bupkis. Yeah.
Friday night was cloudy, and then Saturday night, if there was anything in the southeastern area, which I don't think there was, it was gone by the time I was able to see it. But I got to enjoy the pictures, and it was really cool, and I'm glad people got to enjoy it.
I did. I enjoyed the pictures very much. Yeah. And I have seen, you know, Northern Lights from my deck before. We look due north, you know, from our deck, straight up the Chippewa River, and, you know, have seen them. But you get your hopes up when you see what everybody else was doing. And I'm like, I feel like Charlie Brown, like at Halloween. I got a rock.
I got a T-shirt that says that. Just got a little kid in a ghost outfit. And on the back, it just says, or no, on the front, it says, I got a rock. And the back, it says peanuts. I love it. Aww, I've been stopped. I have a plethora of T-shirts. And that is the one that more people have stopped me or mentioned to me. Like, I love that. Or people say, what is that? I'm like, the peanuts, the Halloween. They're like, that's right.
See, your boomers and your Gen Xers, you know, love the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Love exactly, it very much. Exactly. I actually can't complain. We had an epic weekend here, getting so much done around the house.
Yeah.
This will be perhaps the last time you hear about our garage project, because we got everything all cleaned up now. Everything's put away pretty much, and it turned out to be gorgeous. My older daughter picked the color. We were just going to go with like this, you know, white, you know, eggshell, whatever. Because we're just redoing the inside of the garage, and she's like, no. Look at this palette. And so I picked a dark, like,
I already like your kid.
those girls are amazing. So I picked like this charcoal gray, and it is the sexiest garage now on the street. It's so sexy.
Welcome to Pat's Sexy Garage. It's not as weird as it sounds.
Oh, it just turned out great. And while we were working in the garage, we flipped the tops on the Jeep, took the hard top off, put on the soft top. Mm-hmm. Haven't put it up yet. It's just sitting there in the back seat. We were driving around with the top down.
Nice.
Because yesterday was so gorgeous. Oh, it was wonderful. So, yeah, we had good stuff.
So, the Laughing Tab this weekend with Michael Ian Black was fantastic.
All you mean the Comedy Tap, right?
The Comedy Ha Ha Room. All shows sold out. It was great. The support acts were fantastic. The audience were fun. We had a great time, and that was really cool. Mother's Day, how was your Mother's Day?
Mother's Day was great.
Did Dr. Kreitlow check in?
No. She had the day off here, and both of our daughters checked in, and nice. And were very cute and funny. I went to go see my mom on Saturday mm-hmm. in the Twin Cities, and she's not getting around as well as she used to. And yeah. so this year, I volunteered, which means Sherry volunteered me that we would, and because she couldn't, my mom couldn't go to the garden store where she gets a whole bunch of beautiful plants to decorate the front of her townhouse, you know, place. That we would go get them. So we went to this garden center in the Twin Cities on the day before Mother's Day. 35,000 people, I would estimate, were in this garden center, all looking for the same begonias and petunias, you know, and rhododendrons, you know, as everybody else. That there were no fisticuffs, but it was jammed. I think it makes me the world's greatest son.
You are the world's greatest son. And I'm a son and I just grilled out for my mom's this weekend.
Oh, but that was nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure she appreciated that.
We all went to my mother-in-law's house. So it's me, my mom, my wife, and my mother-in-law. And we didn't want to go out. My mom does not like going out for Mother's Day. She doesn't like being part of the scrum. So she says, like, let's just hang out. And then my mother-in-law's like, well, you want a grill? I want to get a new grill anyways. We're like, all right, cool. So we made chicken wings and salmon and chicken and steak
Ooh.
And asparagus pack and had way too much food. It was way too, for four people. We probably could have invited another 10 people over and had enough food. So that was really fun. But I have a question for you, Pat.
Yes, sir.
When you were done with your newly christened Sexy Garage, did you just at one point, you know, Dr. Kreitlow went inside. She was like, I'm going to kick my feet up. We're done. Did you just kind of stand there and look around and go, yeah. I have a reason for asking.
Not only did I just stand there and look around, but at like four different phases of the project, I shot the same 10-second clip, just kind of panning from right to left, and then use my little video editor to put them all together because my wife and daughters love the HGTV shows.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like the big reveal, the before and after of the garage, going from 29 years of garbage to almost, you could almost eat off the floor. It was so spotless.
So the reason why I ask is because on Saturday, I don't know what happened, but I got up way too early because I usually sleep in a little on Saturday because especially we had two shows. So I got home at 1:15 mm-hmm. in the morning and I woke up at like 7:30. And instead of going right to the couch and playing with the dog and taking a nap later on the day, I just was like, nope. Bridget had to work all day. She had a project and then she got her hair done. So I'm like, all right, I got to be up. I just start doing stuff. Like I just immediately I clean the kitchen. I do laundry. I run the dishwasher and then all that's done. And she's like, oh my gosh. And I sit down for a little while, go, I'm going to go in the garage and work on a little something. And I spent 3 hours in my garage rearranging and just taking mm-hmm. the tools and putting, cause I have floor to ceiling pegboard on two walls.
Ooh, nice.
I know. Thank you. And I just redid the whole thing and cleaned it up and straightened it up. It's not done, but at the end of it, I was just like, oh yeah. And I took pictures and I showed it to my friend. And at one point in the evening, he goes, hey, can I see those pictures of your garage again? I'm like, yeah, sure. What's up? He goes, I just want to look at it.
I do when it turns out, you know,
yeah,
it's great. And for a guy like me, who's, you know, big baseball fan to be able to put the Brewers game on in the garage on a gorgeous day and hear Euchre still telling a good game at age 90, you know, calling it in the garage there. There's now a little mini fridge in the garage, so it's got some fermented malt beverages and some soda pops in there. Oh, it was perfect. Yeah. It was a really good day. It was a really good weekend.
I did turn the ball game on for a little bit. Because I was going back and forth, but on Sunday when I was grilling, I put the ball game on. I'm like, this is I'm America right now.
You are Mr. Midwest.
I know. It was fantastic. And fun Maybelle update. She is sleeping in her crate all night now, just out of nowhere.
Aww.
She's starting to love that. We call it her apartment. And I came home on Friday night. Was it Friday? Saturday night. And usually when I come home, she's like just hopping and skipping and running towards me and trying to like, she's like, I haven't seen you all day. And I got home and there was no Maybelle, no sound, no nothing. And I started to freak out for like 3 seconds. And I looked, I'm like, she's in her crate. It's zip closed. She's sleeping. We did it. And so it's a really good feeling because the crate was becoming an issue. She wasn't doing it. And I was like, oh no, this is not good.
It reminds me though of the, one of the many Instagram reels and TikToks out there is just a dog by the window saying, my barking has saved my owner from, you know, the mailman and three delivery drivers. And, you know, some maybe the dog was all tuckered out from saving your life from all these unsavory characters.
If you go on my Instagram, I am Greg Bach. And my latest post is three pictures of Maybelle. And the first one is her like standing like a yeoman. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And just like watching, she's keeping guard. Face like head looking out the window, just like regal too, just the way she's standing, she's like, I shall protect this land,
the regal Maybelle.
Exactly.
Okay. Speaking of said Brewers game, Travis from Greenfield was there. He won tickets on Friday to Sunday's game when we did our little text to win thing on Friday, so wanted to get that out there. The Cardinals did rally to beat the Brewers 4-3 yesterday and snap a 7-game losing streak.
My apologies.
That's all right. I'm like looking right away. I'm looking at the clock going, did I forget to count again? Let's see. The Brewers scored 3 runs in the first inning, but then the bats cooled off. They'd beaten the Cardinals for the first 3 games of the series. And your Brewers are your first place Milwaukee Brewers. They still lead the Central Division by a half game over the Cubs. They stay home and start a 3-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates starting tonight. Colin Ray on the mound. Listen to the pregame starting at 6:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. Oh, don't forget, today is the Day Without Childcare. Corrine Hendrickson will be our guest a little over an hour from now to explain. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful but hazy Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Civic Media on the live from Lake Wissota. It's so Monday. I'll be back. Yikes, need coffee. We are so out of whack already. I haven't even told you temperatures around the area at 6 a.m. I'm not even giving you a today birthday. This is yesterday. Stevie Winwood turned 76 years old yesterday. Didn't want that to pass without at least a brief mention. It's 51 up here in Chippewa Falls, 51 in Wausau. But a little to the north, Park Falls is at 38, Hayward is at 34. Green Bay is at 53, La Crosse 57. It's 56 in Rapids, 58 in Oshkosh, 65 in Madison right now, and 61 degrees in Waukesha. A lot to tell you about news-wise. Kristen Lyerly will be here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about Alabama Senator Katie Britt. Greg, you have to get on this as well, because who can do it better? Alabama Senator Katie Britt has a new proposal. Now you're Katie Britt.
can't wait for her to talk it at my face.
Mr. President.
Joseph Biden.
She has a new idea out for a national registry, not of like daycare centers to see what's affordable, not a national registry of, you know, guns that have been stolen so they can be tracked and traced. No. A national registry of pregnant people. so that they can be tracked and sent advice on fake clinics to go to rather than actual medical clinics. And so we'll ask Dr. Lyerly, who is an OBGYN and a candidate for Congress, all about that. I mentioned Day Without Childcare. There is a chance that your provider, if you weren't up to speed, if you didn't hear from them, or conversely, some childcare centers and providers may be closed today or will be open but giving you information about the ongoing crisis in affordable childcare. It's very real. Corrine Hendrickson will be telling us much more about it coming up at 7:30. One more note on Mother's Day. I just wanted to highly recommend over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website or on social media, our friend Kristen Bry has made a new video. She's a new mom. And so this is her first Mother's Day as a mother and has some thoughts on how much she wanted to apologize to mothers and how much, frankly, a lot of our elected officials need to apologize for the lack of any action on affordable childcare, on paid family leave, on extended Medicaid coverage, on women leaving the workforce for a host of issues that need to be addressed, women's health issues that could use some extra attention, which, again, that's something that President Biden, you know, has been working on and, in fact, has announced a women's health initiative and has put a big boost of federal money towards studying some women's health issues that have been lagging over the years. So, again, Kristen Bry's got a good video on Mother's Day and the real debt that we owe our mothers. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is scheduled to hear arguments today in a case about whether absentee ballot drop boxes can be brought back and used once again. The court's ruling will come within 3 months of the August 13th primary, and now we're within 6 months of the November presidential election, so a reversal of the current ban on drop boxes could have implications on what's probably going to be another razor-thin presidential race in the state. Since Trump's defeat, and it was only after Trump's defeat, that we started hearing first from Trump and then from other sycophants that, yeah, drop boxes are bad. Drop boxes are the problem. You know, ballot mules are using our drop boxes. The drop boxes have never been a problem. Have never been a problem. But when a what was then conservative-dominated state Supreme Court looked at the issue, suddenly they discovered there was a problem with the drop boxes, that they weren't specifically enumerated in the law, and so they must be illegal. Now, not to take this argument to silly extremes, but it also doesn't list what kind of coffee maker needs to be in the election clerk's office, but I'm pretty sure they can still pick their coffee maker. Their job is to administer the elections as they see best. And the Elections Commission has been watching over our elections for years, other groups before that. Our elections have been safe and secure. A conservative-led state Supreme Court said, well, we can't find exact references to absentee ballot drop boxes, so they must be illegal. And now a progressive-led state Supreme Court, quite possibly, maybe likely, will say there's not been an issue with these. Clerks will administer elections how they see best. And I would say the odds are probably better than 50% that the drop boxes will be back for this year's elections. As was the case, and as was supported by Republicans. Republicans supported drop boxes and mail-in balloting. They were emphasizing those things long before Democrats were, because they knew that a lot of Republican voters were older, appreciated the convenience of the drop box or the convenience of mail-in balloting. And it was only when, you know, Donald Trump told them to be against these things that they were against them. And you can sense already that that opposition is melting away. You have the new head of the National Republican Party saying, yep, we're absolutely going to promote, you know, mail-in balloting. State Republicans have said it as well. They understand that Trump was just selling them a bill of goods. But Trump's been a little busy. You know, I mean, I loved this recap from somebody on social media about last week, that last week's political headlines looked like this. Democrats save Republican speaker from Republican members' efforts to remove him. Vice presidential hopeful and South Dakota governor gets tough questions about shooting a puppy. A independent presidential candidate says parasitic worms ate part of his brain. And who thought that porn star details sex with Trump in criminal court case might be the fourth weirdest headline of the week? That's the kind of week that we had going on last week. And Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney slash fixer, is expected to testify starting today. So there's going to be some real fireworks about how the guy who was, you know, Trump's consigliere, to, you know, borrow some Godfather references, but then had to go to jail, had to do time in prison for Trump in order to cover up the business fraud about the hush money payments, about the alleged affair, about the election interference in 2016. He's ready to talk. He has been talking. He's ready to do so in this case. And so expect a lot of contentious questioning and cross-examining coming up in this particular case involving former President Trump. In things that are more, shall we say, relevant about the campaign and here in Wisconsin, we have been notified that Senator Tammy Baldwin and State Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson will be having a groundbreaking ceremony today for the new Wisconsin River Bridge project over the 1994 bridges over the Wisconsin River. Those bridges have been in use for 60 years. They carry about 60,000 vehicles a day. And Baldwin secured $80 million for the Wisconsin DOT in the bipartisan infrastructure law to replace those bridges in Columbia County. The federal funding combined with state dollars will remove and replace the deteriorating original structures with two new bridge spans. Just one example of the many of things that are getting done because of the productivity seen in the first 2 years of the Biden administration with a Democratic Congress. That was before what we saw in these past 2 years, which includes some issues that we're going to talk about with Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up in just a moment. Let me try this again. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, this is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Be right back. It's Stevie Wonder's birthday today.
You mean Steveland Wonder?
Not Steveland, no. Little Stevie Wonder.
That's his name.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that and much more in today's history lesson coming up in about 15 minutes after we say good morning and have a little chat with our friend Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Lyerly, belated Happy Mother's Day. How was it?
Well, thanks, and good morning. It was fabulous. All the boys were here. They made dinner for me. We hung out on the deck. It took no fewer than 5 trips to the grocery store for them to get all the ingredients to make dinner.
What did they forget? I mean,
they made chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Well, they went to get brats, but they accidentally got some sort of other sausage. And then they forgot that you eat other things besides just brats. So then they had to go back and get salads. And then they realized that they didn't have buns. And that it was just like one thing after another. And it got a little frustrating for them. But I was just sitting in the back porch with my beer, laughing, enjoying the moment.
See, it's funny when it's your boys that do it. It's another thing when it's your husband. It just reminds me of those early days when I was so proud of myself for making something for dinner. I might have made a roast or whatever, and she'd be like, "Are there any vegetables? Are you serving a starch with this?" I'm like, "Well, I made a steak or whatever it was." Like, yeah, there should be other things on the plate. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there should, shouldn't there? You know, just don't think about those things when
you get to criticize me after I get a thank you for making a roast.
You know, it's a process. You don't just like all of a sudden know how to make dinner. Mm-hmm. You've got to figure it out. So that was what I enjoyed about it. They were figuring it out and they were working together to figure it out. And as a mom watching my kids figure it out, that was a pretty neat present.
That is very cool. Glad mm-hmm. you had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Mother's Day was enjoyable for, you know, so many folks. Glad they had a good time. We talked earlier about Kristen Bry's video about being a new mom. Of course, she was making, you know, videos while she was pregnant. Here's what she wasn't doing while she was pregnant, or anybody else for that matter. They weren't putting themselves on a national registry of pregnant people as Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt proposed in something called the Moms Act. And I don't remember what the moms stand for. It's irrelevant. But it's a registry so that, you know, pregnant women can be sent information about their pregnancy. And here are some, you know, pregnancy centers, not health clinics with, like, you know, actual doctors, perhaps. The whole thing sounds so, and bear in mind, I'd never read nor saw The Handmaid's Tale, but sure were a lot of references to that over the weekend in light of a proposal like that.
I can't watch that show. I think I would just lose my mind if I watched that show. But I mean, how about just start with maybe making sure that pregnant people had access to insurance, expanding postpartum Medicaid in Wisconsin. You know, there are so many actual things that we can do to improve outcomes instead of doing this creepy tracker thing that we all know is nefarious. Is that a good word for it?
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because let's see, according to one news article, it would create pregnancy.gov, a federal clearinghouse featuring, quote, resources about crisis pregnancy centers, information on adoption agencies, but it would specifically forbid any entity being on there that does anything related to abortions. Let's see, Marco Rubio, well, if he's involved, this must be something, would also require states to apply child support obligations to the time period during pregnancy at a mother's request, which one site described as effectively, you know, treating embryos as children, if you're going to be paying child support, you know, at that point in the pregnancy. And yeah, a whole lot of social media posts that I can't read because there's language that doesn't belong on the radio. Needless to say, though, like Kristen's video said, all the things that we could be doing for moms mm-hmm. and for women in the workforce overall, which is why today is also a day without childcare, where childcare centers are either closed up or handing out information about the childcare crisis. Corrine Hendrickson joins us an hour from now to talk about a rally coming up this weekend about it. So there are real issues for moms and for women out there, and yet we're exposed to and have to deal with the same political games as always.
Hey, I hope they continue to push this terrible agenda because it doesn't resonate with people. It doesn't resonate with real people in the world who can see right through this. Women are not dumb. We understand and we know how to take care of ourselves. Trust us with our own healthcare decisions. I mean, please.
It's funny. You and I were both thinking, like, yeah, that's it. There should just be a period there because that's it.
I'd like to
trust them with their own decisions.
I'd like to ask a question, and I promise you I'm not being snarky or smart alecky in any way, shape, or form, but in their perfect world, they believe life begins at conception. Does that not redefine the concept of age then? If a child is born, they are in a normal pregnancy or a healthy, whatever you want to call it, they would be, in their standards, 9 months old, correct?
Yeah, basically.
How does that redefine everything we do then? How does that redefine laws? How does that redefine voting? How does that
Well, I mean, it also allows them to redefine, you know, again, are we doing that from the point of, you know, conception, which of course you can't really nail down.
Yeah. When does that happen?
Kristen knows, she's been put in, like every OBGYN, has been put in very uncomfortable positions of, no, I really need to know exactly when contraception occurred. No. And that allows you to then back time it further and say, well, now there's going to be accountability for, you know, the very act itself, you know, that led to a pregnancy. And, oh, wait, you say you're not married? You know, it just takes, it winds the clock back to an age where, I mean, it was an awful time, meaning all of human history until about 5 decades ago, to be a pregnant woman with any kind of a crisis. whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget that if you believe that life begins at conception, that's fine. That's your belief. There are other people who don't believe that. So we can't hold people, for example, people who adhere to the Jewish faith. They don't believe that life begins until roughly a baby takes its first breath.
Right.
So how can we force a Christian ideology on them in law? It just doesn't, it's unjust.
Yeah. And a question that Jane has brought up many, many times on her show on Matt and Air on Air is, where are the safe, quote, I'm saying in heavy duty quotes, safeguards, registries, punishments, penalties for the father, the man? Like, it's all like the, he gets to walk away scot-free from everything, whereas the woman is put under all these pressures and laws to basically have someone following you around for, you know, roughly 9 months to a year of your life to make sure you're doing everything by their standard. If not, you're in trouble.
Yes, I'll take it a step further. Where are the punishments for politicians who intentionally create this kind of legislation that literally kills people, that tears families apart and hurts people? There are no consequences for these people. At least there haven't been, but I think there will be in November.
Well, that's the only way that that's going to happen, because there have currently been no consequences for politicians. In another example, as was pointed out by many folks yesterday, that on the Sunday shows, once again, multiple Republican politicians were asked straight up, will you accept the results of this November's elections? That's a gimme. That's a layup. That's a bunny. Yeah. And yet they all waffled and said, well, you know, we'll have to wait and see. That used to be automatically disqualifying. And there's no consequences for that either, unless folks in November say, no, you can't serve if you can't promise to accept the results of my vote.
It's crazy that we even have to ask this question.
Yeah. I know.
This wasn't even a question before Donald Trump.
It's crazy that if a Republican says, yes, of course, they're seen as like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're so bold.
Right?
Did you happen to see Lindsey Graham on Meet the Press yesterday? I thought he was going to lose his mind.
I love it when he gets so Southern mad.
Oh, does he ever? Oh, he's clutching his pearls, which... And what was it? He was basically begging Netanyahu of Israel to use nuclear weapons in this particular snippet that I saw. That there, you know, we were justified in using atomic bombs at the end of World War II, so Israel is justified. And he kept talking over Kristen Welker of Meet the Press to just, and when she said, you know, no military advisor wants that. And what did he say? The military guys are full of crap or something like that. I'm like, oh yeah, that I'm gonna believe you.
Good job, Lindsay. That's smart talking. I just want to see Kristen Welker just when she's being, like, when they're interrupting her and disrespecting her, trying to do her job, which is a very, I can't imagine having that job, just slowly pulling out a water, a watering thing and just spraying them, just like a cat.
Squirting
like,
them? Da, 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 da. Down.
You know
down.
Better. You know better.
It's interesting to watch how they treat her and how different it is than the way they treated Chuck Todd.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
The interaction.
Or Tim Russert before that. I mean, you didn't try any of that talking over. It just would not fly. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me ask you about one other medical thing here from inside of clinics and hospitals. And we're talking about the infrastructure of the internet and cyber attacks, because the Ascension Health System suffered a significant cyber attack, and it has really, in Wisconsin and Michigan and other states, has really disrupted patient care. And I don't know if you've been part of that at all, but it is, you know, we are so reliant on internet technology now that when these places get like a ransomware attack or something, I mean, it really can impact the work that doctors are doing and the care that patient gets when it's interrupted like this. You're really reliant on this technology.
We're reliant on the technology, and this information is a gold mine for these people. So this is the third time that in this past year that we've seen a major attack on our health information systems. Here, the Prevea system in Northeast, actually across Wisconsin, was shut down just a few months ago. Now we've got Ascension, and of course we had the other giant giant national one just recently. And we as physicians have a hard time with it because, you know, we're struggling to provide care. But we as patients should be very concerned because of the degree and the depth of information that is now being shared in places where we don't want it to be shared.
And frankly, that information is information that may be on the charts, but mm-hmm. that even the patient themselves doesn't necessarily know. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, what prescriptions are you on? Well, there's this pill is blue, you know, or whatever. And I'm not mocking, but there's a lot of people. I couldn't tell you the exact name of, you know, one or two of my recent prescriptions. We count on the charting for that. And if you can't access it, you know, it's very, it could be unsafe to provide a certain, you know, type of care.
Yeah, unsafe, really scary. And mm-hmm. where do we go from here in the future? Because it keeps happening.
That's the thing. It keeps happening. And part of me wants to be critical of essentially the victims for letting this happen. Like, are you doing enough to prevent this? But you see so much of this happening that maybe that's exactly it. Despite all of our best efforts, it's happening anyway.
Well, maybe we need more of a focus on security and actual medical care with our health, with our electronic medical record, and less on billing.
More liberal chitter chatter.
A little inside baseball from the medical world there. Yeah.
No. If we're going to work with coding, it's got to make sure to, you know, it's got to be about billing and raising the money. Oh, you want security too? Okay. Over the weekend on Friday evening, you know a thing or two about Kakana, I believe, right?
I do. What happened in Kakana?
On Friday evening, Kakana softball defeated Kimberly 11-1 in five innings to capture the program's 100th consecutive win, according to WFRV-TV. It's the first time in Wisconsin prep history that a team in any sport has won 100 games in a row. Kakana becomes the fourth high school softball team ever in the country to reach that mark and is now just 13 wins away from setting the nation's all-time record. So congratulations to Kakana softball.
Kakana strong. You go, Ghosts. And they beat Kimberly, which is the best rivalry in the high school arena. And it was 11-1. I love this all so much. You just made my entire week. Thank you, Pat.
See?
And her sons cooked for her last night.
I know. Look at that.
Best weekend ever.
Well, we're going to bring Selena Heller into the mix as well. And we're going to have today's history lesson, talk more about Selena's Mother's Day and the weekend and so much more yet ahead on this Monday morning. It's May 13th, live from Lake Wissota. This is Up North News Radio, live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Be right back. Told you it was Stevie Wonder's birthday. Stevie Wonder is 74 years old today. We'll hear a few more because I wouldn't know where to start if I could only play one song. So we'll play several from Stevie Wonder today on occasion of his birthday. Selena Heller joins us from Eau Claire, my Up North News colleague. How are you?
Good morning. I am good. It was a nice weekend.
What did Emory do for you for Mother's Day?
Oh, gosh. Well, in school, they fill out these, you know, my mom is whatever.
My mom is whatever. Okay.
You know,
whatever.
It should be good.
Like, she put in, like, something my mom likes to do to relax or something, and she put like she likes to take a nap, and I'm like, I never take naps. Like, I don't know where that's coming
maybe
from.
She was projecting. I don't know.
She should take a nap.
Yeah. I love it when my mother just rests.
And then she put like she likes to cook hamburger helper or something like that.
Oh, great, just selling you out. Wonderful.
Yeah. Like, we have a lot of meals we cook.
I'm still coming back to the, you know, what if she had actually put, my mom is whatever. Just completely put an attitude up there.
Whatever.
Mentioned Steve Winwood turned 76 yesterday. Stephen Colbert turns 60 years old today. And this is the anniversary of the birth of Richie Valens. At the tender age of 17, on what became known as the day the music died, Richie Valens died in a plane crash in Iowa, along with Buddy Holly, JP the Big Bopper Richardson, and the Pilot. Valens was already well on his way to being a rock and roll influence. He was posthumously inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, the Native American Music Awards Hall of Fame, and much more. Let's see, we also have, actually we're a little thin on historical things. We have a lot of birthdays. And so, I did find one more here. It was on this day in 1981. Pope John Paul II was shot and wounded in St. Peter's Square, but would recover and later request a pardon for the man who tried to assassinate him. Also born on this day in 1943, one of Motown's early stars, Mary Wells. Sing it, ladies. My guy. Okay, good job. Mary Wells also lost too early to cancer at age 49 back in 1992. Yes, Greg?
Nothing. Oh, I love the movie Sister Act. That's it.
Oh. I had to be careful about that. You want to put the Whoopi Goldberg version up there. And who did the remake of La Bamba for the movie?
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Right.
Los Lobos.
Los Lobos. Yeah. Los Lobos. Like, you have to be careful. Like, don't grab the wrong thing off of the YouTube there. All right. Let's see. A couple of singers. Morgan Wallen is 31 years old today. And Darius Rucker. Do you know him from Hootie and the Blowfish? Or do you know him as, quite the country star now? Either way, he is 58 years old today. Why you punish me? I know there have been many examples of what's called the sophomore jinx, but Hootie and the Blowfish has to be one of the epic examples of you come so strong out of the gate with that first album, Cracked Rear View, and then nothing. I mean, the second album, Fairweather Johnson, flopped, and then they were broken up before too much. Alanis Morissette is the other one I think of.
She's still up there.
Well, she had a single or two, but she never had another album that's,
You're just not following, Pat.
Selena, let's get out of here.
Now we're going to go find some numbers here.
Whenever that happens, like the sophomore slump or whatever, like I never blame the artist because they're doing best. No. I blame the record labels because they're like, when you come out of the gate and you sell like 20 million copies, the record labels will deem 12 million a failure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. That's a good point. Let's see. On the National Day calendar today, several foods here. It's National Apple Pie Day.
Mm. Oh, yes. Why now? Please. I don't get it.
You're apples right. That doesn't make sense. Right. No. That
maybe there's Apple Crisp Day in the fall.
Do any of these national days ever make sense?
I don't know. Someday we're going to get to the bottom of these. It's National Fruit Cocktail Day. It's National Crouton Day. A crouton. Really, a national day for the crew.
Happy International Stale Bread Day.
Well, gets us to this one. Today is International Hummus Day. If you don't have any nearby, just lick the inside of an old tennis shoe and you'll get the same sensation.
I'm going to cut you. If it wasn't for the fact that you were all in one channel, Patrick, I would cut your mic right now.
Boy. You tell the truth about hummus one time. And then I mentioned that this is also, and this is for Dr. Lyerly mostly, National Women's Checkup Day. And I mentioned how President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden launched the first ever White House initiative on women's health research designed to jumpstart the next generation of medical breakthroughs and transforming the care that women receive. It was originally funded with an investment of $200 million to the National Institute of Health, specifically for research on women's health issues, which Kristen had lagged behind some of the other research out there.
It's very important. general research does not apply to women. The way that men metabolize drugs and the way that men's outcomes are different than women's outcomes, we have none of that data. And recently, Tammy Baldwin paired with a number of other senators and Halle Berry to do specifically research on menopause, which I'm super excited about because my patients often need treatment for menopause symptoms, and there's very little data out there. So it's really exciting to see that there's more momentum toward treating, toward getting more information and treating women for common conditions.
I'll need to know when we're going to be discussing menopause in the future just to get Halle Berry out there. I mean, she was screaming it into the microphone. She's like, we should not be afraid to talk about menopause. It's like that's the perfect introduction to the topic. In our second hour, Selena Heller is going to tell us about a couple of the stories that she's working on for Up North News, and then we'll also talk to Corrine Hendrickson about today's Day Without Childcare to again talk about the crisis in affordability for parents, for providers, for small businesses that would like their workforce to be able to stay strong and not necessarily have to stay home because of the child care crisis. All that and more coming up on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.